Do you ever run into, and I don't know how many, I know a bunch of us work in different spaces, do you ever run into situations where you have to modify the where the artist is so sensitive to the space? Because I did a record years and years ago, and it was an artist that came from Broadway. And we tried to track her in. I mean, we cut the rhythm tracks at Benson in a huge room, and then we went to a small room. And, you know, it was Omni B. I mean, you know, the vocal booth over there, it's not a nice, I mean, it's you know, it's 8x10, small ceiling. She couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could sing, but it was like, she just couldn't emote. And finally, we ended up going back to Benson, which is a room, was a room about this size. And she was like, okay, this. And because she was just restricted. And I've dealt with other artists where, you know, you put them in an ISO booth where there's no reflections and they sing, especially somebody with a big voice, they get in there and they sing and there's nothing coming back. I mean, the sound goes out and it doesn't come back. And if they don't feel something coming back, you know, it's like taking away their ears. It's like they need to feel something coming back. Have you ever run into that? I mean, do you have situations like that?
Yeah. Yeah, the environment. It's, you know, that's what I meant before. It's not only singers. It's guitar players or acoustic guitar players, drummers. If their instrument that they're used to, including the voice, doesn't sound right in the room where they are right now, there probably will not be a good performance. And whatever it takes, you know, we've put like wooden plates up in rooms that were too dead, and just to make it more lively, and just whatever it takes to do this.
That's to make them
something,
comfortable.
Make them comfortable. That's something that's overlooked a lot nowadays in a bedroom studio because you can't do anything.
Right.
You know, it's that room, and you have to use it, and you have to use the mic that you got sold as the mic. And you know, if you're dealing with the life of four or five people, and that's what you're doing when you do a record,
right,
you better do everything you can to make that sound right and make them feel right and make them perform right. You know, so whatever it takes.
Right, because if you don't get the emotion coming out of here,
that's right.
It's like it's not going to connect with anybody
right.
that listens to
people. And
other
listen people
to it,
will feel that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'll add to that on a the opposite spin. I mean, we're live sound reinforcement engineers, which I think is funny comedy at the same rate as it is a challenge. You know, we want the people, the audience, to experience what already exists on stage. So my flavor, that's move a mic, change a mic, you know, allow the least amount of EQ things to color what's already there and afford the audience to have an experience with what's already there entering their environment. On that flip side, we cut a TV show over here at Cannery Ballroom with Lady A, and the room was really first order reflection heavy at one end, and they were doing this really nice ballady kind of thing, acoustic guitar, three vocals sitting around, and they wanted to feel like they were in a bigger space because the first order reflections felt so tight. I'm fortunate to work with artists that don't have to tune a lot, and that sang really well on pitch. So I said, okay. And that day I spec'd two sets of speakers for the room, not pointed at them, just to excite the room that they were sitting in. And the minute we turned it off, Hillary got pitchy and Charles became cranky and discontent and just pulled it up real slow. And it was just, now that the environment existed, they were able to sing together and be together.
Okay, so this is another interesting thing. You mentioned the bedroom thing. This is a huge issue, getting larger. So what do you do to take a room that's not great and make it better? I mean, what are some techniques? I know I did a record over here at Spence Manor, and I went in with an artist, and they were trying to sing in a bedroom, and I walked in, and they were like, it just sounds terrible. And I said, well, okay. Take all the mattresses and stand them up. So we took all the mattresses off the beds and stood them up on the wall, and all of a sudden it broke up the standing waves that were bouncing back and forth between the parallel walls, and they were like, ooh, cool. It sounds completely different. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of knowing what to do. So what are some techniques that you can do if you've got a room to record, like somebody might have a bedroom to record, and you need it to sound better.
I want Dusty, did you guys post that stuff you did at Potluck? They did a great band recording in the casita at Potluck with Susan Marshall and Jeff Powell and Matt Ross Spang, and it was a perfect example of what you could do with, you know, with
limited resources.
Limited resources, yeah. And it was real vibey. People were hanging out and talking and drinking and everything, and you know, it was capturing a something that was going on, and I don't think, and there, nobody had headphones on, right? So I think it's, you know, it's a balance between being not so precious about it and working with what you have, and at the same time, there's great equipment that can help you do what you do. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of trial and error. Sometimes it's not going to happen. The vocalist thing, sometimes they just show up and it's like, not, you know, it's the Frank thing. Not today, boys. Not going to happen sort of thing. So maybe it's like you try a room and it's not going to happen in that room. And you might be just as well to say, let's can this and try someplace else.
Well, I know ribbons are great. I use them all the time because if you walk into a room and you've got problems this way, but you're okay this way, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, you set the microphone this way, and we won't hear this part of the room. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a big, long slap, mm-hmm. you just put that in the null of the ribbon, and it's like, it's gone. Right. I mean, it's completely gone. Right.
Use the figure of eight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's one trick that I use frequently. Jeff, any ideas? You probably don't end up recording in bedrooms very much, do you?
No. I think that's it. I mean, it's basically if you can't move some mattresses, rugs, put some plywood up or something, then it's bail on the room. I mean, there's real no miracle fix for a room. I mean, it's just if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's the bottom line, I think, you know.
Michael, do you cut in a big space when you're doing vocals, or do you cut in a small space? Or do you do in a big space with battles?
My room is about 25 by 22. But then I put up ASC tubes around the singer, around the back of the microphone. And then depending on how dynamic the vocal is, I will put something behind them as well. But it's an open room that I make smaller by those things. But it still feels open to the top. You know, it's not a vocal booth or something like that.
Gotcha.
So it's fairly large.
For those who aren't familiar, ASC... Acoustic Sciences Corporation or something like that makes tube traps. If you're not familiar with them, they basically are a music stand bass with a tube that's probably about, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 feet tall and maybe 12, 14 inches around. They have a dark reflective side, not dark, a dark acoustic non-reflective side, and then you can flip them around and they have a reflective side. But they're fabric covered, and then you can get them down low or you can get them up high. And then you can move them around to position them wherever you want. They're very, very good problem solvers. And they're great. They're very, very portable as opposed to like a huge baffle. And you can stack them wherever you want. You can put them along the sides of the microphone, behind the microphone. You can just move them around to deal with whatever problem you have depending on the day or the instrument. Oh, ASC. And they're called tube traps. I was just working at a studio last week that had lots of them, and we ended up in this doing the scratch vocal in a tiny little room that had a glass door and a glass door, and you just walk in there, and it's like, oh, this will work, and then the doors would close, and you go, oh my gosh, I'm singing in an aquarium. It was like an empty aquarium. It was just like boing 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 boing. It was terrible, and so we piled the two traps in there, and it was like, oh, this is workable.
You can create your own environment.
Yeah. And you've got varying degrees of control. You just move them around.
Even with drums and other stuff, you know.
Well, there's other cheap or inexpensive. Michael's phone.
Oh, okay.
There's other inexpensive acoustical treatments at my place. I've made a couple gobos about this, well, smaller than this, and I don't have walls. I like the band tracking all in the same space. So my vocalist is in a bedroom with moderate high ceilings, and I do a similar trap type environment, but made out of PVC frames with just a hanging velvet curtain. So it has a high frequency absorption coefficient element, but nothing really low, and allows me to keep that presence there. On the studio and track and floor side, what I did is I just went to Insulation Supply, right by the stadium and got some sheets of 703 and 705, which are really cheap, cheaper than you could go to Guitar Center and buy Aralux. And I stuck it on pegboard, which is porous and let sound through. Wrap it with whatever kind of fabric you want, from burlap to, I don't know, t-shirts from last year. Holds the fabric on the pegboard. And when you take that pegboard and you, now with the fabric on it, the further away you pull it from the wall, the lower your absorption coefficient goes down in frequency. So if you want to cut a real boomy, rocking guitar, I'm nothing in comparison to the maestro over here, but and back it off or put it closer to the wall, and that way it doesn't absorb so much in the low frequencies and the low mids and takes all that shrill top-end stuff that's bouncing off your plaster, you know, closet that's next to your neighbor. You know, it doesn't help much with cutting guitars in the closet that are too loud, but it really does allow you to manipulate your reflective surface and environment. And if you want something that is brighter, turn it around. You have pegboard that has a warmer coefficient on the backside. Kick it at an angle. Put your one MXL $50 omnidirectional mic you want at 10 feet, and now you've got 20 feet of space between you and the guitar cabinet. All of a sudden, that's a great wash for the chorus. Mm-hmm. And that cost you $30 to make.
Yeah. Here's a footnote. Owens Corning 703.
And 705.
And 705. It's condensed fiberglass insulation. It's compressed, and it's like rigid. It's rigid. So you can hold a piece of 703 up and just hold it out like a bar.
And they make different thicknesses.
Yeah. It's very, very good.
Insulation Supply. They're good dudes. And you can buy it already cut in half in 2x4 squares. So if you get a whole sheet of 4x8 plywood or particle board or pegboard or whatever your flavor is, you can go to Home Depot. They'll go ahead and cut it for you with three cuts, and it comes perfectly sized for the sheets of 705 or 703. Mm-hmm. You get an Insulation Supply. Yeah. Like I said, it's
way less. So
you
just wrap it around and then just like hot glue it, or what do you
do? No, it's a staple gun. Now, keep in mind, the thicker the pegboard, the better the staple gun you're going to need. But yeah, you can hot glue it, you can wrap it. The fabric wrapping it means I don't have to glue it at all. And if I want to take it out, put a piece of 705 in there, whatever. But I've got probably 20 of those panels around the studio, and I've got little rows of 2x4s on the wall that I can hang it off of a 2-inch hanger or a 1-inch hanger, and that's the distance off the wall. So if I'm cutting drums, you know, I've got 705 stuck right to the ceiling just for ultra-high stuff taking it off the top. But my whole drum room, I mean, it's a pretty low ceiling, but it's a really dynamic space, because I can move these little baffles.
That's cool.
You change your t-shirts every year?
No, I like the smell. But that's cool, though.
Like, you buy new t-shirts every year.
You know, I might have to do that.